Heavenly Father, as we reflect on and think about your word, we pray that you would meet us in the depths of our being, draw us close to yourself, transform us for your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I want you to imagine a season in your life when you are looking forward to a big change. Something big that you were excited about and anticipating. What was the season of your life like as you looked forward to that big thing? Maybe for you it was graduating high school and going to college or having a kid or getting married. Whatever it might be for you, what's something that you were really looking forward to? Think about that season leading up to that thing. So for me, the first thing that comes to mind is when we had our first child, when we had Graham, our son Graham, and we went from being a family of two adults to being a family of three, one of whom was an infant. And I think about the months leading up to that and how we prepared and prepared and prepared. We prepared our home, we prepared a room for Graham. We filled his drawers. We painted a dresser for him and filled his drawers with baby clothes and diapers. We prepared and prepared. We had all sorts of showers and parties and bought all sorts of things. The seemingly infinite supply of baby things that we need nowadays, right? So much stuff. We even, as I think back, we rearranged our lives. We took inventory of our lives and thought about our careers and how we spent our time. Our finances were certainly affected, and we prepared and prepared and rearranged our lives as we looked forward to Graham's arrival. Now, this is what the season of Advent is all about. We look forward to the coming of Jesus. We look forward to his arrival. And the call throughout the season of Advent, throughout this season, is prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare the way of the Lord. So we can imagine what it looks like to prepare for the arrival of a child in your family. I can imagine what it looks like. I can remember what it looked like to prepare for the arrival of Graham. But what does it look like to prepare for the arrival of Jesus? So here's some Advent trivia for you. Okay, are you ready? Who would you say is the central character of the season of Advent? Any guesses? Yes, I hear a little bit of both. Okay, so it's a bit of a trick question. The correct answer, as usual, is Jesus, right? With my kids, when we're doing sort of evening devotion, evening prayer, and I ask them questions, I'm trying to help them see, just answer Jesus, and you'll most of the time be right. So Jesus is the central character of the season of Advent, but there's someone else who is an important character during the season of Advent, and that character we hear about a lot in our Bible readings, and our gospel reading this morning and last week, John the Baptist. I heard some people saying that too. You're not too far off. John the Baptist is an important character of Advent, and the life and ministry and teaching of John show us, have a lot to show us about what it means for us to prepare for the coming of Jesus. So this morning I want to reflect on John's life and ministry and see how he might instruct us 2,000 years later about how we can be preparing. So our gospel reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11, listen to what Jesus says in verse 10. Jesus says, "This is he of whom it is written," he's talking about John the Baptist, "this is he of whom it is written," and then he quotes the Old Testament, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you." So Jesus says this about John the Baptist, and he's quoting the word of God from the prophet Malachi, and he's saying, hey, this promise that you heard through the prophet Malachi more than 400 years ago is coming true before your very eyes. It's about John. It's looking forward to this mysterious figure, John the Baptist. So he's quoting Malachi 3:1. So I want to think for just a minute about Malachi, and let's do a quick survey of the entire Hebrew Bible in 1 minute. Are you ready? So our Bible is made up of two testaments. Do you know how many books? 66. Yes, great. Great job, Emily. 66 books in our Bible, 39 books in our Old Testament, and 27 books in our New Testament. The way that our Old Testament is arranged, and I say that way because the Hebrew Bible is arranged a little bit differently, the way the books are ordered, but the way that our Old Testament is arranged, if you look at the table of contents in your Bible, 39 books, I love the symmetry here. I just get excited about this. The first 17 books of our Old Testament tell the history, the story, the narrative of God's people, Genesis through Esther, the first 17 books. And now the last 17 books of our Old Testament describe the prophetic ministry that's taking place in the midst of that history. So the last 17 books, Isaiah through Malachi, we see all of these prophets speaking God's word to God's people in the midst of the history that's recorded in the first 17 books of our Old Testament. Do you see what's happening there? Yeah. So the last book of our Old Testament is Malachi, and it's also the last book chronologically. Malachi is a prophet who's speaking the word of God to God's people, and Malachi is doing ministry about 450 BC. About 450 BC, and then that's the end of the Old Testament. And do you know what happens next? Immediately after Malachi's ministry is nothing. Silence, waiting for more than 400 years. And you can imagine what that must have been like for God's people who were used to hearing the word of the Lord, and all of a sudden there's silence and darkness and nothing for more than 400 years. When I have to wait for something for 40 minutes, I get impatient. My son, when it's 4 minutes, begins to get impatient. But here are God's people waiting for 400 years. And then, in the midst of that silence and in the midst of that darkness, I want to read for you words that are spoken prophetically by a man named Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist. This is what Zechariah speaks into that darkness and into that silence. He says, "You, my child, John the Baptist, shall be called the prophet." There's been no prophet for 400 years. "But you shall be called the prophet of the Most High. For you will go before the Lord to prepare his way, to give his people knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins. In the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high." What comes in the dawn? The light comes. The darkness is ending. "The dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace." And John the Baptist arrives on the scene and says, "Hey, the darkness is over. Nighttime is coming to an end. The silence is over. The Lord is near. Get ready." And so right off the bat, in John's life, before he's even born, through his dad, Zechariah, here's an important thing we learn. That even in the waiting, even in the darkness, even in the silence, God is faithful. God is faithful. God is true to his promises. God is true to his word. God shows up. So you may be able to relate to God's people in their years and years and generations of waiting and silence. Do you know what that's like? When it feels like around you there's just darkness. You don't know how to put one foot in front of the other. There's waiting, there's silence. "God, what are you doing here? I don't see where you're at work. What are you doing?" Do you know what that's like? If you don't yet, then one day you will. All of us will experience that. And so we can know, we can learn from John the Baptist that God is faithful. God shows up. And all of us, in a sense, this is what Advent is about. We are all waiting because the Messiah, just as John said, just as the Hebrew Bible tells us, the Messiah did come in the person of Jesus. Jesus showed up. God himself came, Emmanuel, God with us. And he lived and ministered and discipled, called people to himself, taught people, healed people. He died on the cross for our sins. But he didn't stay dead. He rose from the dead. He ascended to the Father's right hand, where he's ruling and reigning over all things. And now we wait. We wait for Jesus to return. But we know in the midst of waiting, because of the testimony of John the Baptist, that God is faithful. God is true to his word that Jesus, our King, our Lord, will come again, and we can hope in that. God is faithful. So in the waiting, while we're waiting on our Lord to come, how then do we wait? How do we prepare? Well, let's keep looking at John the Baptist's life. There's this exchange that John has that's recorded for us in the Gospel of John, which is confusing because it's a different John. John, still today and in this first century world, very common name, sort of like in our church, the name Richard. You know, there's just a lot of Richards running around, right? So it's kind of confusing. The Gospel of John, written by a different John, he records this exchange that John the Baptist has. In John chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, he says, "This is the testimony of John the Baptist. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?'" So remember, God's people are waiting. They're waiting for a Messiah, and they hear about this mysterious figure, John, who's doing all this sort of stuff, and people are attracted to him. People don't know what to do with him. So they send people to ask John, who are you? And I love how John responds. It's simple, but it is profoundly significant. Here's what John says. Verse 20, "He confessed and he did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.'" That's all he says. "I am not the Christ." That's so instructive for us today because John knows who he is and he knows who he's not. "I am not the Christ." Here's why that's so important in our own day. I think humans throughout the ages are prone to a few things, but I see it. I just see it more and more prevalently in our modern day. Prone to a couple of things. One, we humans are prone to something we might call a savior complex, right? Like we see things that are broken, and we're like, "Everyone should be glad that I am here, and I can fix it all," right? Savior complex. We like to grasp for power and control and try to fix things by our own doing, by our own power. But what we learned from John the Baptist, this message, you're not the Christ. You're not the Messiah, the anointed one. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the anointed one. So we can let go of control. We can stay in our lane and let Jesus be the Lord that he is. We're not the Savior. We're not the Christ. Jesus is. Humans are prone to another thing, and this is what I see more and more in our age, and that is looking for another human, another modern person, to fix everything and to make things right. There's something we might call cult of personality. Cult of personality. Where we rally around a powerful and influential figure, a leader, a politician or a pastor, we rally around this person. This person, this is the one who's going to make things right. If this person were just elected, or if this party were just in power, then everything would be fixed. All of our problems would be fixed. The cult of personality. And the church at large is not exempt from this. We see thousands and thousands of people gathering around pastors, thousands and thousands of people downloading sermons and watching pastors online. Cult of personality. This person is going to make things right. But all of us, none of us are the Savior. And we pastors, we better be pointing people to Jesus, not to ourselves. If you're ever hearing a pastor who's not pointing you to Jesus, you should be wary. Because the Savior has come. I heard one theologian say recently that the job of Messiah is taken. It's not ours to take, praise the Lord. The Savior has come. So let's look to Jesus, not to ourselves, not to other people, but look to Jesus. John teaches us that as we wait, we look to Jesus, who's the Messiah who has come. What else do we do as we wait? One last thing that we can learn from John and his ministry and his message. As John went around and preached, he really didn't have a large variety of things to say. I think there's a trap that preachers can fall into sometimes that it's always got to be new or fresh. We always have to have kind of variety in what we say and how we say things. But when I look at preachers in Scripture, they say a lot of the same things over and over. And that's certainly true of John. What was John's message? What did John go around proclaiming? If you were to show up and hear John preach, what would you have heard? We heard it in last week's gospel reading in Matthew chapter 3. Listen to John's message here, Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This was John's message that he said over and over and over. Repent, for the Messiah is near. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the same is true for us 2,000 years later. How do you wait? How do you prepare for the coming of the Lord? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is here and is near, is coming. Repent. The word repent literally means to have a change of mind, to change your mind, to think in a totally new way. To, like Laura and I did as we prepared for Graham, to rearrange your life, to take inventory of your life and rearrange your life, to turn from one way of being to another way of being, a new way of being. I've shared this story here before, and I'll share it again, because John always repeated himself, so I can repeat myself this one time, right? I've shared this story before, but I love it. It just stirs my heart and fills my imagination with what it looks like tangibly to repent. So I heard a pastor share one time about a husband who loved his wife, was a good, godly husband, and it was his practice every morning as he left for work to say goodbye to his wife, to give her a big hug, to tell her that he loves her, to give her a kiss, and head out the day for work. So there was one day that this person, this husband, was leaving home for work, and he realized that he forgot to take out the trash. And so trying to be efficient, like sometimes we like to do, he said, "Hey, I'll just take out the trash on my way out the door for work." And so he's walking out the door. He has this big bag of trash. And to get out the door of his house, he kind of had to walk down a narrow hallway. And so he's carrying this big bag of trash. He says, "Oh, I need to say bye to my wife." So he kind of says behind him, "Bye, I'll see you later. I love you." And kind of gives his wife a peck on the cheek. He can't turn because the trash will hit the walls of the hallway. And his wife says to him, she says, "No, that's not how you say goodbye to me. Tell me goodbye like you love me, like you really love me." And so in order to turn around and face his wife, he had to physically put down the bag of trash so that in this narrow hallway he could turn and face his wife, look her in the face, tell her how much he loves her, give her a hug, give her a kiss. What a picture of repentance. We recognize, we admit, we confess. I love all the times we pray prayers of confession in our Anglican tradition. We confess that we've accumulated all this junk. We're carrying around this big bag of trash that's weighing us down. So we acknowledge that, we see that, we confess that, we put it down, and we turn to face Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. And this isn't something that we do once. Again, I love in our Anglican tradition, if you're following our tradition to the T, you're confessing your sin at least two times every day. We keep confessing, repenting, putting down the junk, and turning to face Jesus, where there's forgiveness of sins. So prepare. Graham's arrival in 2015 was a big deal. And we prepared. We rearranged our lives. But Jesus coming is the biggest deal of all. So prepare. Get ready. Prepare. Because we know that God's word is true. God is faithful. And Jesus will come again. And so as we go about preparing, look to him. You're not the Savior. I'm not the Savior. Praise the Lord. Let's look together to Jesus. I am not the Christ. You are not the Christ. And as we prepare, let us repent, putting down the things that weigh us down and turning to face our Lord Jesus. So prepare the way. Prepare the way of the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.